and open our hearts to something that you have to say. And God, you are amazing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Seems I always start out this way, but this might be a little different than what you're completely used to. But and it wasn't even what I had planned. I had been working away at a message for now for a couple weeks, and I put it on the shelf, and I changed gears here. I'm going to bring out what I was working on another time, maybe next week. But I got a question for you, and it's kind of a maybe just a fun question here, but and if you know this, I'll be impressed. So what does the movie Mission Impossible 2, I don't know if you've seen it or not, and the cartoon movie Help, I'm a Fish have in common? Anybody see both those movies? No? Okay. Huh? No? Well, I'm not, you know, I wasn't expecting an answer, but I'll tell you what those two movies have in common. The answer is this. They are just two of hundreds of movies and TV shows and stories that have this in, as a theme, with the search of an antidote as a main plot line. And I made a little prop just kind of, yeah, because sometimes in those action movies and when they're looking for something, you know, sometimes it looks something like this that they're searching for, an antidote. If only I could find the antidote. And in Mission Impossible 2, the hero has to recover an antidote for a cure for a virus. Very familiar in movies. And in Help, I'm a Fish, the characters are trying to recover an antidote to reverse the effects of a potion that was drank that turned some of the characters into fish. And remember, it's a cartoon. And also, though, the same potion turned some fish into humans. So, yeah, kind of sounds like an interesting show. Anyway, again, there's hundreds of movies and stories and books and stuff that and TV shows that have a search for an antidote as a plot line. Here's a couple more questions for you. Okay, these ones are maybe a little more easier to answer, and well, I hope they are anyway. And we'll do this if you're brave enough. We'll do this by a show of hands. How many people here this morning would like to learn how to worry more? Okay, I'm looking. Yep, no hands. Here's another question. How many of you feel that your life would be better if only you could spend more time worrying? Show of hands. Okay, good. None. Okay. Now, seriously though, you are someone who only maybe worries occasionally, and it's not really a big problem. But some of us may be people who worry a lot. Yeah, I hear some chuckles. You may find worry as just slightly uncomfortable, or maybe you find worry intense and painful. I don't know. No matter how much we worry, I think it's safe to say that we would all like to worry less. I know myself too. And I have good news for you this morning. You and me can worry less. I don't know if we can wipe out worry altogether, but God has given us an antidote. And it's not in a little vial like this. It's not. It's right in here. We can find an antidote to help us worry less, because the antidote is right in here. We're going to look at that antidote a little bit here in a moment. I'll set that there. There's something in our Bibles about worrying. Actually, there's quite a bit about worrying in there. And it's a great thing that God's Word, the same book, that contains details of huge cosmic events like creation of the universe. Same book, the truth about heaven and hell can be read about in our Bibles. And it tells also about the rise and fall of kingdoms. We can read that in our Bibles. So all those great big things, but God's Word, it tells us also, we've talked about this already this morning, the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's huge. What a book! That's all I can say. But God cares about us so much that along with all that mind-blowing stuff that He wants us to find help with, He wants His kids to deal with very ordinary human emotions also. And we are His kids. Worry is a very normal and human emotion. And we can read about that in the same book that we read all of that huge, crazy, mind-blowing stuff. We can read about stuff like worry. So let's look at the antidote this morning for this problem. Why do we worry? I want to talk just a little bit about maybe, I want us to think about even about worrying and why we even do this. But why do we worry? Life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. Bad things happen. And bad things happen to good people. And bad things happen to bad people. Bad things just happen. And even the wealthy and powerful people are not exempt from bad things happening. Nobody is. I don't know if I've ever been standing in a line at a grocery store, and you know how sometimes they have those magazines right at the till, and a lot of them are you know, tabloid magazines and kind of gossipy stuff. But you read the headlines, and some of them are ridiculous, and you realize, man, these people, these famous people that seem to have everything, they sure have a lot of problems. They're not exempt. And okay, this is maybe a little bit gloomy, but before we get to the good stuff, I think it's important to be honest about the not so good stuff. We live in a real world. And I want us to be a church that deals with reality. And we are. This is a pretty healthy church. And I don't want us to play pretend. I want us to have faith that can stand up to whatever the world hurls at us. Let's be Christians who are healthy and strong enough to come out on top. You know, I think, and you may be thinking, well, of course life is hard, and I know that already. But think about this. Look how common it is to try to avoid worry by pretending everything is fine. Ever do that? We refuse to acknowledge the possibility of anything going wrong, and I'm very bad for that. And I don't know if it's a guy thing or is it guys? I don't know. But but I can choose to not think about something. That drives Debbie crazy. She just wonders how I just choose to not think about something. But I can do it. Yeah. Thinking if I don't think about it, that won't happen. And I make that attempt quite often. It's pretty regular. And I avoid doctors and dentists and all kinds of things like that, thinking what I don't know won't hurt me. Sound familiar? I don't know. Oh, I was trying to think the other day, when was the last time I was at the dentist? And this is bad because my brother's a dentist. But I think I went to see a dentist in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and I lived there 10 years ago. So it's been a long time since I've been to a dentist. Oh, that's bad. So ever been, here's a question, ever been dealing with a serious problem and have had to say, don't worry, I'm sure everything will work out? Yeah, everything will work out, or why worry about it? What will happen will happen. Those are common. Well, this doesn't always work. All of this does is transfer the worry from our minds right to our guts. And then if the worst does happen, I think sometimes we're completely unprepared. I am going to get to the passage here in a moment. But what we need is something that will allow us to face the reality, but without being or without becoming consumed by anxiety and worry. Another reason why we worry is that the future is uncertain. We have a lot to look forward to, but it's hard to understand, and in a lot of ways the future is uncertain, and even in our own lives the future is uncertain. Okay, that's another obvious statement, but it's true. We don't know what the future holds. And sure, some things we can prepare for, but there are dangers which are often completely unexpected. And we prepare the best we can. And some ways that we prepare, we prepare by watching what we eat and maybe exercising as much as we can and just preparing. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a prepper. I try to always have, you know, some stuff stored away in case, some extra food and even some extra fuel for my kerosene lamps, and I like that stuff, and I do prepare a bit and to be ready for an emergency, and I do feel good about that. Anyway, I have some other things ready, but the bottom line is the future is unknowable, and that can feel unsettling. What we need is something that will allow us to have peace in the midst of uncertainty. Now I'm getting close here to reading you a passage of scripture. But let me just say that one more time. What we need is something that will allow us to have peace in the midst of uncertainty. Here's one more reason we worry. We worry because we're not in control. And I'm saying that the amount of control we have is not enough to totally protect us from harm. And you can improve your odds, but there is no guarantee. Doctors, they get sick. Financial experts, they lose money in the stock market. Police and firefighters, police sometimes even get robbed. I watched a video the other day of a police officer on duty, and he got robbed. Wow. Good living, responsible parents are sometimes rejected by their teenage and adult children. That's hard. We work hard and earn money. We gain knowledge. We make choices to protect us from danger. We live in good neighborhoods, we send our kids to good schools or choose to homeschool. I know I sent my kids, as they were growing up, I sent all of our kids to a private Christian school, and that was out west when we were there. But we try and try to be in control, but sometimes it's still not enough. We need something that will allow us to have peace in the midst of events and forces that we can't control. Okay, now we're going to look at a solution. Finally, I want to read you a passage from Matthew chapter 6. And these are Jesus' words. And I'm going to read from, the part I want to read to you is from verse 25 through 34. But let's back up a little bit. Let's go right from 19. And this is Jesus speaking here. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now here's where I wanted to start reading. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. What a passage. So I think this could possibly be, be part of the solution anyway. But the first thing I want to say about that passage is this. Recognize that worrying accomplishes nothing. I have to tell myself that. Worry accomplishes nothing. In verse 27 of that passage that we read, Jesus says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's pretty clear. Not only does worry not help, it often has the opposite effect. Here's an example. What happens if you worry about hair loss? I can look at some of you because I look at me. If we worry about our hair loss, it doesn't really slow things down, does it? there's actually lots of evidence that stress contributes to hair loss. And there's other things too. Sometimes it's just our family. But when you worry, here's another example. When you worry about getting sick, there is medical evidence that shows that stress and anxiety can suppress your immune system, and it makes it more likely that you will get sick. Oh, great. Now I'm going to worry about worrying. Worry about losing your job, and that may actually cause behavior that lowers your performance. And guess what? You might end up losing your job. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, And it says worry weighs a person down. And boy, I can relate to that. It's interesting that you were talking about a rocking chair earlier, because I was thinking about a rocking chair, and sometimes in our living room I sit in our rocking chair and I just rock and rock and rock, and I'll often, just to drive Jan a little crazy, I'll say, "Boy, I'm doing a lot of work here and I'm not getting very far." And I get the "Dad," you know, that type of response, and I'll just exaggerate and I'll rock and rock. And it reminds me of this. If we just picture sitting, rocking in a rocking chair, and rocking and rocking, and I worry and worry. Often we just worry and worry. It's just like rocking in a rocking chair, and you don't get anywhere. Lots of energy expended, but no forward progress. Because it does take energy to worry. And remember that. Recognize that worrying accomplishes nothing. At verse 27 of that passage. And I hope I can remember this. I hope I can remember this. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Number two here. Part two of the solution. Is to understand that God cares about you. This is huge. In that same passage, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, says this. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? And then we got that verse, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? But then verse 28, it says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? He says. Those verses just scream that you matter to God. God is with us and for us. And God did not just create the world and then sit back and watch the show. We are not toys. He is so concerned with His creation that He even wants to provide what you need. Those few verses say that you are valuable. Recognize worrying accomplishes nothing. Understand that God cares about you. And then number three is this. Put first things first. Put first things first. We worry so much because we care too much about the wrong things. We worry about what we eat and then don't care enough about what we are going to do with the life that the food makes possible. We worry about what we wear, but we're not concerned with what we are going to do with the bodies we put clothes on. We are so concerned about what we can do to preserve our lives as long as possible, but give little thought to what comes afterwards. Food is important, clothes are important, shelter is too. And for the people that Jesus was talking to here, these things were life and death important, but they're not the most important things. Verses 31 and 33 again, it says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. His kingdom is his rule over the earth and his authority over us as his creation. Our first concern should be understanding who God is and how we can be right with him. You can be right with him by living righteously. What does that even mean? Well, none of us can reach God's standard of absolute perfection, but Jesus made it possible. God accepts Jesus' righteousness on our behalf. Listen to this short passage from Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 says this. I'm in the right page here. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I love that passage. Last thing I want to mention, number 4 in my list, is transfer trust. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you want a peace that defies logical explanation? I do. Then let's stop trusting in our own power, right? Our wisdom is puny compared to God's. Our strength does not come close to his. And I don't know about you, but I need to trust God more. We can exercise this trust by bringing him our concerns and our prayers. I'm so glad that this is a praying church. We are not in control, but we can place our trust in someone who is. We don't know the future, but we can place our trust in someone who does. Just about finished here. When we worry, we show a lack of trust in God. I have to remind myself of that. When we worry, I'm showing a lack of trust in God. I get to live with a child, and I'm thankful for that. I've lived with lots of children, but I still have one at home. And Janet reminds me of so many things all the time. And I enjoy all the things she says. And, well, not all the things she says, but some. Sometimes she'll just say something that's so funny, and it reminds me of scripture. But really, when you think about living with children, it's neat that often, like Janet, she doesn't have a lot of worry. She doesn't worry about much. And as she gets older, she worries about things and friends and stuff at school, but really, she doesn't worry about much. She doesn't worry about where her food's going to come from, or her clothing or shelter is going to come from. And it's because she trusts Deb and I, right? She trusts us to provide those things. And we need to have that real trust in God. It's that same trust that Janet has towards me and Deb, and it's a good reminder for me. So, the antidote: if you want to worry less, it's not a cure by any stretch, but if you want to worry less, Remember this. Recognize that worrying accomplishes nothing. If you want to worry less, understand that God cares about you. And if you want to worry less, put first things first. And if you want to worry less, transfer your trust. Let's pray. God, you are an amazing God. We thank you for that passage in our Bibles where you spoke so clearly about so many things, and worry it was just one topic. God, just help us to be more like you, and to put what we've looked at this morning into practice in our lives. It'll help me. Help me to do this, God. I want to worry less, and I want to do all those things that we looked at. God, thank you that you are our God, our Lord, our Savior. Man, you are an amazing, amazing God. We're so thankful we have you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll call the music team up here.
Closing song today is another older one. It's by Chris Tomlin, Give Us Clean Hands. So, yeah, if you'd like to stand and join us.
Before we are dismissed, just again, thank you for all of you coming to worship with us this morning. That was a timely message, Pastor Travis. Thank you very much. We all are prone to worry, and with all that's going on in our world, there is more to worry about, it seems like, and more to be fearful about. But I'm so thankful this morning that we have a God who knows about what we're worrying about and what we're fearful about, and we just need to turn to Him. We need to call upon Him and get to know Him and obey Him, and we know that He will help us with these things if we call upon Him. And He wants us to come to Him with clean hearts and pure hearts, and then we will see God, we will know God even more. So thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you for bringing your families here this morning. We are here to serve you. We are here to help you in any way we can. If you need a visit, if you need someone to sit down and talk with more about things of faith, things about the Lord, things about the Word of God, by all means, get in touch with us, myself, or Pastor Travis, or one of our elders, or their wives, or whoever that can be of encouragement to you. So let's just close with a word of prayer, and then you will be dismissed. And I'm going to ask Brother Jim if you would close us in prayer this morning, please.
Father, we want to thank you for the time you've had in your house here this morning. We believe it's been God-honoring.
Mm.
Father, we really thank your presence here this morning.
Yes.
We just pray that you'll move in America.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray, Lord, for the coming week that, Lord, that you will give us some soul that we can share Christ with.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord, that somebody that is searching, somebody that needs Christ.
Yes.
That needs
yes.
Change life for eternity.
Mm.
Lord, that we can just show them the Scripture in our own lives how to be saved.
Mm.
Are you ready for that rapture?
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And Father, we just thank you for Dr. Travis. Message that he shared with us today, and we know that worry can drag us down. Father, we know that little word called trust, the handle for that.
Amen.
We need to trust Christ more. We need to put Him center of our lives. We need to be more like Him.
Yes.
You know, we just thank you for that. Thank you for the time we've had together. Give us a good week.
Yes.
Right.
Amen. God bless you all. Lord bless you and make you a blessing and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.
And happy birthday to Nancy this week, just so y'all know.